guess with everything.
Well, it's on the consumer.
No, it's not on the consumer. I think it's we already passed it. It has passed.
When I said that horse was going to be like, yeah, you're good.
You haven't figured it out yet?
Yeah, I know.
I'm
ready to
go.
He's
going to do it. I know. I'm ready to go. I'm
ready to go. Welcome to my world.
That's pretty good, Ralph.
Welcome to my world.
I'm David.
All right.
Oh, shoot.
The October 20th, 2015 meeting of the City Council of the City of Springfield, Illinois is called to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Redpath.
Here.
Alderman Sinor.
Here.
Alderman Turner.
Here.
Alderman Fulgenzi.
Here.
Alderman Proctor.
Here.
Alderman Job.
Here.
Alderman McMenamin.
Here.
Alderman Tylan.
Here.
Alderman Donnellan.
Here.
Alderman Hanauer.
Here.
Mayor Langfelder.
Here.
Mr. Mayor, a quorum is present.
Thank you. First item on the zoning meeting on the agenda is docket number 2015-061 for the property located at 2313 South Whittier Avenue. Petitioner is Faith Evangelical Lutheran Church. Present zoning classification R2 single family and duplex residence district section 155.017. Requested zoning relief reclassification to R-5B general residence and office district section 155.021 and a variance of section 155.097 required accessory off-street parking spaces, office buildings. Springfield Sangamon County Regional Planning Commission recommendation is denial of the reclassification. However, recommend approval of the use variance for offices and approval of the variance request to allow for 27 parking spaces. Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation is concur with staff recommendation and recommend denial of reclassification to R-5B. However, recommend approval of the use variance for offices and recommend approval of a variance of section 155.097 required accessory off-street parking spaces to allow 27 parking spaces instead of the 61 required. Chair will entertain a motion.
Yes, I'll make a motion that we accept the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please vote yes. All those opposed, vote no. The voting is now open.
I'm voting yes. My computer is not working.
Okay. And the motion passes 10 voting yes, none voting no. Treasurer Bush here. Okay. At this time, the chair will recognize Treasurer Buscher, the presentation of the financial report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the corporate fund for the month of September, we had a beginning balance of $6,614,413. Director McCarty, I'll move out of your chair.
You're fine.
We had took in total receipts of $17,038,355. We had total disbursements of $15,224,881, which left us an ending balance in the corporate fund for the month of September of $8,427,887. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. The chair will entertain a motion to approve the financial report.
So moved.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Chair recognizes Chad Lucas of Sikich. They're the auditors for the city's financial report and single audit report. Chad, if you'd state your name and address for the record, we'd appreciate it. Could be your work address.
Work address, sure. Chad Lucas, 3201 West White Oaks Drive, Springfield, 6704. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate the opportunity to work with you again this year. I have tonight a couple of items that I wanted to go through, the comprehensive annual financial report and a couple of other letters. Just kind of first quickly go through these, and if you have any questions, please interrupt. The comprehensive annual financial report that you've presented here is prepared by city staff. It's over and above the basic requirements of your governmental accounting standards. It includes an introductory section, a statistical section. That includes the transmittal letter. It also includes trend information. The audit opinion that's included in here is an unmodified opinion, which means that we believe that everything included in the financial statements is fairly presented. Just a couple of things I wanted to point out. This year there was a new accounting standard that I discussed in previous years, GASB 67, and it related to pension disclosures. The police and fire pension funds actually implemented this disclosure. The city chose to actually include those disclosures in the financial statements this year. The upcoming fiscal year will also include the accrued liability that relates to any unfunded status relating to the pension funds. That's GASB 68. So for this year, though, it's just note disclosure requirements, and those are included in the financial statements. They're included in note 10, and they're also included in the required supplementary information. Included in here is management's discussion and analysis. That's kind of a condensed financial information, comparative financial information this year to last year. That's really kind of where you get the most bang for your buck in terms of reading this 200-page report. So just a couple of items to point out. The statement of net position, I'm always asked, statement of net position and activities, did your position improve or deteriorate from the previous year? And this year there was a decrease of approximately $34 million. So the position actually declined. A couple of other items, the general fund, there was a decrease of fund balance of approximately $1.1 million. Capital improvement fund increase of approximately $14.4 million, which relates to bond proceeds as the main reason for that. And your enterprise funds, your electric fund decreased by approximately $12 million, and the water fund increased by approximately $3.3 million. That's just a really quick synopsis. I'd be happy to answer any specific questions.
Is this for a fiscal year or is it calendar year?
It is for fiscal year ending 2/28/15.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Alderman McMiniman.
Chad, thanks for a well made report. And you and I talked earlier today. And congratulations also to Bill McCarty of the Budget Office, because as Chad just indicated, we're providing some information in this report that is not required to be made until next year, and some of that information has to do with what happens to our unfunded liabilities in our pension funds if we change the assumptions about what the annual rate of return will be on invested monies that have been set aside. And so, for example, on page 68 of the CAFR consolidated financial report, if we assume that our rate of return going forward will be 6.92%, our unfunded liability is $284 million. But if we assume, and this is what's in the report, if we assume that the investment rate of return going forward on our investment funds is 5.92%, 1% lower, then the unfunded liability jumps to $362 million, from $284 million to $362 million. And this gets to the heart of what I've been trying to talk about for 4 years now, and Mayor Langfeld, you're familiar with this. And just to give you a point of just everyone has got to realize that our actual rate of return for the past 10 years has been 5.6%, 5.5%, roughly 5.5%. And I know that because I attend each of the quarterly police and fire pension board meetings, and that was what our investment advisor disclosed to us at each of the most recent police pension board meeting, which was a week ago Thursday. So that's on one aspect of that, having to do with the police and fire pension funds. Now, just briefly, one other point of information, which is in Chad's report, having to do with IMRF, the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. On page 83 of our report, it reports that our unfunded liability for the most recent fiscal year increased by $10 million. And that's the highest unfunded dollar amount that we've had, I believe, in the history of the city. And the funded ratio has declined to 61%, which happens to be the lowest funding ratio we've had in the history of the city, to my knowledge, at least in the last six fiscal years. So we've got some real challenges out there, and Mayor, ultimately we'll need a long-term plan. We can't fix this problem overnight, but we need a long-term plan premised on reasonable expected rates of return, reasonable assumptions. That's precisely what the General Accounting Standards Board is trying to force municipalities to get come to grips with by the reports in the future, will, as this report did, lays out what the impact is of various assumptions that we make about our rate of return on the pension. So thanks a lot, Chad. I really appreciate the conversation we had earlier today.
Question, Chad, what drives those numbers? What determines what our rate of return is?
In this particular case, the assumptions are used, the actuary deals with management and determining what the expected rate of return is going to be.
So it's an estimate?
It's an estimate, that's correct. It's an estimate, and so the funding progress, the rate that's used in this calculation is actually a blended rate. There's an assumption of a rate of return for the amount of net pension assets that are on hand, and if you run that out, how long will that last? Once you run out of that net pension assets, then there could potentially be additional liabilities that would be funded. That amount is used at the 20-year municipal bond rate, and so in this case it's 3.75%. So the actuary uses a blending of those two rates to determine what the future.
But it sounds like we have a standard so far for the last 10 years. It's been at 5.5. Was that correct?
6.2.
So if we're estimating it higher, we're well off our number.
And I think that's what the GASB standards is the sensitivity information that's included in the note 10 this year. Is it shows 1%, whatever rate was used, and then it shows a rate of 1% less and 1% more to see how the fluctuations would happen if
So one of the other things that Alderman brought up was that we increased our unfunded liability by $10 million. What would drive that? Increased employees or?
Yeah, it
has to do with the IMRF, correct.
Yeah, IMRF. The IMRF liability. It's employee driven. It's market driven. So in 2008, when the market went down significantly, your funded ratio went down significantly too, because your liability essentially stays pretty much the same or increases, but the value of the assets that you have on hand at IMRF can change with market values.
So, but the market the last couple of years went up substantially.
Right, and it's I mean, there's 6 years worth of trend information here, so it has gone. It's in the 65 to 61.2% range, but in terms of the actual contributions that are being made, you're making what IMRF recommends that you make.
So, do you make a recommendation to the mayor and the city council to change a strategy or come up with a better way to invest our funds, or how does that work?
Yeah, that wouldn't necessarily be a recommendation from the auditors. It's certainly something that you would discuss with your actuary to come up with a reasonable rate. So.
Okay.
Actually, with regards to the investments, the police and fire pension board each have their own board that oversees the investments of those particular funds, and IMRF has their own governing board, which
so they
oversees,
do their own individual right, investments?
Right. And the police and fire pension, as those are structured through the state legislature, you know, as far as what you can invest in. And so that's part of the issue as well. but it is noted, this has been an issue ongoing for a long period of time. That's one of the reasons I'm for residency, because, you know, city employees should participate in paying towards those pensions and retirements, and as you can tell, that number's going up, and, you know, our property taxes are pretty much staying level, but we need to, one of the mechanisms to fund those pensions is with regards to property taxes, and that's one of the reasons I'm for the residency rule. But that'll be coming up later on for debate.
Mayor, if I can, since you brought it up, let's address something that was in the newspaper recently. I think it was a letter to the editor. The gentleman said that, you know, basically it's been said by the administration, you, Mayor, that inaccurately, that basically 100% or nearly 100% of the city's real estate taxes go towards the pensions. And the statement in the newspaper was the fact that that's not the case. And I just wanted to clarify that here today if we had an opportunity. Bill, if you could explain how that works and where the money goes. And I think it's been historically, at least over the last probably 8 years, the fact that nearly 100% of the city's portion of the real estate taxes goes to pensions.
Right. That's a correct statement. We've seen over the last decade the police and fire pensions begin to crowd out the other things that have been levied in the past by property taxes, or property taxes have been levied for. For instance, we used to fund the library partially out of a property tax levy. That went away many years ago because it's one of the things that has been crowded out by the ever-growing police and fire pension obligations that we have. As it stands today, this year we are looking at somewhere around, I believe we're paying $18.5 to $19 million out of our $21.5 million property taxes to police and fire pensions alone. Based on the latest actuarial reports that we have, we're going up another $1.5 million in the coming fiscal year that will be part of the budget. And part of that, in talking about assumed rate of return, is we have lowered the assumed rate of return from 7.5% down to 7.25%. So that's partially the reason for the $1.5 million in growth next year. But this is not a new phenomenon. It's been going up and consuming an ever larger piece or portion of the property taxes each and every year. And if our property tax EAV growth continues to be around 1%, which is what it has been the last few years, the estimate is, based again on the latest actuarial reports, that the entirety of our property taxes will be consumed by police and fire pensions in around 2019 or 2020.
Now, so in addition to that, we have our IMRF payments.
Yes, part of the IMRF, there are a variety of reasons for that. The vacation spike, for instance, the council has taken action to eliminate that. That will help as we go forward. But one of the things to keep in mind with IMRF is that back around 2008, when the market really tanked, IMRF lost, I think it was 24% of its value in investments, which was not all that different probably from a lot of different pension funds. And the difference is with IMRF, IMRF has a specific targeted funding level that they like to be at, and they are the one pension fund in the state that can basically force its members to pay whatever they think they need to pay in order to get to that funding target. Well, many cities, including the city of Springfield, could not afford the number that was given to them at that time. And therefore, IMRF understood this, given the financial times. So what they did is they offered a phase-in approach. It was a five-year approach whereby the city would recognize that it owed so much money to get to a targeting level, but it couldn't do it at once, so you had 5 or 6 years to start building that up. We just finished that. Unfortunately, the market hasn't responded as well, and we've had some other issues where we haven't gotten back to that target level, but the phase-in is over, so they're going to start increasing the percentages that we have to pay in order to get there. And historically, I can't remember what the average has been as a percentage of payroll, but the last several years it's been in the 15 to 16% of payroll that we've had to contribute to start bringing that funded level up. So that will continue, and we will get IMRF, moved up. IMRF is one of those things that it definitely is a concern, there's no doubt about that, but the bigger concern of the administration and the council really needs to be police and fire pensions. That's where our problems lie.
Mayor.
Alderman Hanauer.
Is this a result of the changes the legislators made in
2002, 2003, something like that.
The sweetener.
And are we the only, we're not the only
no.
city in Illinois that's affected by those changes that the legislators made.
No.
Right?
We're, no.
A lot of them are. So.
Right. We had, I had a meeting with a deputy director of the Department of Insurance this morning on another matter, and we were talking about pensions. There are 657 public police and fire pension funds in the state, and I'm sure virtually all of them have been affected, certainly by the changes you're talking about at the state level. We once, as we were looking into this, I know we've been, Alderman McMiniman has been talking about this for many, many years, and we've had these discussions on and off. One time we looked into it per the council's request, and exactly what is it that has been driving the ever-increasing cost of our pension obligations for police and fire in particular? And the sweeteners that you're referring to, I think, if I recall correctly now, this is a couple of years ago, so I may be misremembering, but I believe the sweeteners accounted for roughly 35% of the increase. But you have the tanking in the market, again, 2008, when there was a huge loss in value. You know, you remember, just think about it, if you lose 50% of your value in an investment fund, it takes you a gain of 100% just to get back to where you were. So we had a huge loss back in 2008, 2009. The market has been climbing, there's no doubt about that, but it hasn't been increasing and the economy hasn't been recovering at a rate that really has helped out tremendously. It's getting better, but we're still fighting a rising tide when it comes to the obligations and returns and an economy that some people believe is still somewhat teetering on the brink and could go either way. So there are a lot of challenges out there to where we're at today.
Any other questions? Very good. Thank you, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Chair will entertain a motion to incorporate the pre-council first reading of ordinances into the record of this city council meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Chair will entertain a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes of the October 6, 2015 City Council meeting and approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. The chair will entertain a motion to incorporate the pre-council reading of the consent agenda into the record of this city council meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Chair will entertain a motion to place the consent agenda on final passage.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed vote no. The voting is now open. And the motion passes
yes.
10 voting yes, none voting no. Agenda numbers 2015-116, 2015-121, 2015-320, 2015-331, and 2015-342 remain tabled or in committee. Chair will entertain a motion to suspend the rules and place on first reading agenda number 2015-376, an ordinance to increase the number of Class D liquor license by one for DSB2, Inc., doing business as Westside Pub and Grill, 3554 Freedom Drive.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
Present.
One present. The motion carries. Chair will entertain a motion to suspend the rules and place on first reading agenda number 2015-377, a resolution estimating real property taxes to be levied against fiscal year 2016 and finance expenditures for fiscal year 2017.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Alderman McMiniman.
I see there is a ordinance fact sheet without comments. Could a member of the staff provide some additional information how this levy compares to the prior year's levy, real estate mm-hmm. tax levy, for the next meeting, Bill?
Do you know that number now, Bill?
It's roughly the same. Our expected levy, our expected DAV levy growth is about 1%.
Our expected levy growth is about 1% over last year's, but we'll get you the number as far as what that actual
number is?
This is not actually the levy. The levy, the technical will come later.
This is the estimate of the levy.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Is there any unfinished business come before the council?
Yes, please.
Yes, Alderman Tylan.
Director Mahoney, if you could, please. Director, I think this mainly, both these questions are going to mainly affect the areas where Alderman Miniman and I both kind of butt up against each other. The country club neighborhood.
Not you and me, but our board.
Exactly. with the Ameren, what they did during the summer with the gas lines and everything else, every time I turn around, I'm having another homeowner turn in about how the area where they filled the dirt in has sunken in, or they left this hole, or, you know, it's the yards are still not back to the condition prior to when Ameren came through. And I know that you've had TJ working on it quite heavily, and he's been answering a lot of the emails for me. But I think we're just at the point where we're getting toward November, we're getting toward winter, and I really don't like what I'm seeing when I drive through there. It's still a mess.
Mr. Mayor, so what we need is Ameren to come out and finish up the turf restoration and leveling the ground.
I've got specific addresses with cave-ins next to their driveway. I've got holes next to the meters that are still not filled in the first time. You went out a couple weekends ago because of the trash that was left in someone's yard from when they went there to do some work.
And I put that, I think, in the back of my car. I mean, it was not a hole. I shouldn't have been left there, but there's... TJ's been on. There's a few sites, like you talked about, and we have been on Ameren about those. The other, some of them, it's their seating issues, and it's kind of hard. I mean, with the conditions where they are until spring, you're probably not going to get a lot of
yards back. Well, and the seating, I understand, and I've been telling my constituents that if the grass doesn't recover, we'll deal with it in the spring. That's what you had told me before. You know, I've even told them, I said, if there's enough of you, then we may have to get together and make them turf it. But, you know, the big thing is that I've got specific houses, and I don't know how Joe's been doing on his side of Country Club, but I know going all the way, keep going south, it just seems like every time I turn around, I'm getting another email or another phone call about a house that's got an issue. And I also have still been getting complaints about the entrance to Country Club right there off of Golf, where they had put all that work in at Golf and Old Jacksonville Road to make that corner area that they were maintaining, and Ameren turned it into a parking lot, and they added gravel, and they did all this other stuff, and I don't necessarily know that people are happy with the condition of that either.
And a lot of that, I mean, obviously, they're construction sites, and they need to be put back to the best ability as we can. So if you get the addresses like you've been doing, just keep sending them to us, and we'll continue to work with Ameren the best we can, and make sure we get it cleaned up.
I will, and I appreciate your staff and the work that they've been doing. I just am getting a lot of very frustrated residents.
They've been doing a lot of work out in that area.
Yes.
So there's a lot of disruption.
And then my follow-up question is that there were certain things that I had on the sidewalk program. Are we done, or are you still working?
The sidewalk program is still going on. We're in the final phases of it. They have until November 15th, weather permitting, like 90-something percent done. So the biggest thing now is some of the backfill's got to be done. There's certain areas where they've got a little farther. One of our contracts got a little farther ahead than we'd like, so we stopped them from doing sidewalk work to do the backfill, get that taken care of.
Yeah,
so.
Because one of the things that I had on my list was a new addition from Monroe to Golf Road on Old Jacksonville Road on the south side of the road next to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen anything marked done. I'm wondering if has that been pushed off?
That's
for
the area where we have right-of-way issue. So I'll have to check. I don't have it with me,
all
but
right.
We'll check into it.
And that's all I have for the director, if anyone else has anything for him.
Any other questions for Alderman Mahoney, or Director Mahoney? That's a flashback, Mark, sorry.
The only other thing which I've got is that I'd like to throw out there that a lot of people have been putting
support behind Charlie Parker's. They made the final two. I've seen the city's Facebook page, Andrew Proctor, CWLP, a number of other prominent citizens. We made the final two out of 165. This would be really good for Springfield, I think. Mm-hmm. So everybody keep pushing. I think you can vote twice a day if you vote in the morning and then vote at night. So just keep pushing, guys. We're almost there.
Yeah, you can go.
Congratulations to Charlie Parker's.
Yep. www.thomasbreakfastbattle.com, and there's a link on the city's Facebook and Twitter as well for those that are tech savvy more than I am. But it is important if you do that. What's nice with Charlie Parker's, he said he'd share it with all his employees, which is really nice. So, but it does put Springfield on the map, and it's great that we're able to get behind them, and it's good food too. So
yeah, not to mention, I mean, do we really want
double
a horseshoe bonus to lose to a French toast recipe? Come on.
Any other unfinished business? One item I have is with regards to the Ethics Committee. We'd like to schedule that meeting for November 1st at 4:30, right before, or it's November 3rd, at 4:30 before that City Council meeting.
Mayor, is there any way I could ask you to push that off by 2 weeks?
Sure, that's fine.
Thank you.
And the purpose of that would be to go through, you may recall, that the Inspector General Company had presented a couple of different options. One of the issues was the extent of the existing cases and some other potential cases. They did give a proposal for finalizing the first group or finalizing the second group. The thought process is that the Ethics Committee, which is the designated body to hear the detail of the cases, would take a look at what they've pulled together already on the first additional or the first seven cases, then be able to make a decision on maybe how to proceed forward with that once you get the detail. And the proper step is to the Ethics Committee, and then if the Ethics Committee wants to make a recommendation to the full council on maybe do we want to proceed with them, they gave different prices and alternatives to finish up and so on. So that'll give us a mechanism to review it and then make a recommendation to the full council. That was the thought.
Yep. Thank you. Any other questions or comments on
that? What date are you going to meet then?
We're going to do it November 17th before the City Council meeting at 4:30. And we'll
make sure it's posted. And,
right.
Yeah.
Is there any new business come before the City Council? One item I do have is with regards to ward plans. If you haven't been in touch with our communications area, please schedule your ward plans. I think most have. So we want to have those kick off in November, and I think most of those have been scheduled for the month of November. So we have two people that previously signed up to address City Council. The first is Daryl Riffey or Carol Needler regarding annexations and the hole in the donut.
Carol Needler. I live at 1528 South 2nd. I'm the chair of Springfield Inner City Older Neighborhoods ICON. We're a coalition of neighborhood leaders with the goal of improving the quality of life in inner city older neighborhoods in Springfield. It's come to my attention that there's been some confusion over ICON's position on the annexation issue, and I'm speaking to you to clarify our position. When ICON discussed this at our last meeting, members were not in agreement on annexation. However, we were in agreement on and voted to address the City Council about our concern for the allocation of limited city resources for infrastructure and other city services that will be spread over a larger area. We asked the Mayor and the City Council to remember the needs of our existing older neighborhoods as you make budget allocations for the upcoming year and plan for future infrastructure needs. We appreciate your support of our older neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next person that signed up is Pat Deloney with Spark. If you'd state your name and address for the council.
Pat Deloney, 2408 Tamarillo, Springfield, Illinois, 62702.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, mm-hmm. Your Honorable Mayor Langfelder and Aldrin. I would like to talk a little about the Spark organization. I've been associated with it for approximately 14 months. It's been a wonderful experience. The students are at Spark are wards of the court, and they've been there since they were 3 years old. I used to have the students at Lee School when I was a teacher and a vocational coordinator, so I got the placement jobs then, and it always comes back around. So now I'm with the Spark organization, and the kids are 45 to 50 years old, so it's kind of exciting. Nice to see them all, and they remember you.
Right.
Most of the time, the clients are housed in group homes, and there's 14 of them, and there's 4 students in each home. And there's a total of, and one in Chatham, and there's a total of 60 students, and they all have jobs in the community. There are 42 agencies that assist with the jobs for these students. And there's a job coach that goes out with every student. And I'd like to give you an example of Lowe's. If there's a problem, they call Spark, the job coach goes out. They don't have any responsibility. The job coach just take care of all of it. And it's kind of exciting because all these kids, when they get a check, it's like the Cubs won the World Series. It's pretty exciting. And I'm a Cardinal fan, sorry. In addition to that, the clients are task-driven and integrated into the community. That's how they try it. They work at it real hard, and it seems to work. So the other thing that I brought to your attention, I think Mr. Griffin sent you an email in regards to the Come See Tours we have at the Spark organization out on 2929 Stanton Avenue. It's a free lunch, and they take you and explain some of this that Greg O'Connor and Denise Shanker, he's the CEO and she's the Director of Development. And they'll be glad to have you come out, have a lunch, and they'll explain everything to you, and you'll get to see the workshop. It'll touch your heart. All these kids have been there for several years, and they do a wonderful job, and they smile, and they enjoy their job. And when you get paid $3 or $25, or like I said, it's always a party. The availability that I have for these meetings, I've got dates which I brought up, and because other board members have dates also, I can only get the following. If you're interested in coming, we'd like to have 5 at a time if it's all possible. And the October 26th and October 29th, in November the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, or 6th. And if anybody wants to come out, and my number at home is 416-8998, and it's on the back of the brochure that I laid at your table that Tim Griffin put out. And also let Tim know, because I'm coordinating with him to try to get the people to come out and have the lunch and listen to the spiel about Spark. It's a great time. I'm looking forward to it. It's 2929 Stanton Avenue, and you'll enjoy it, and you won't forget it, I guarantee you. If you have any questions, I can address them now or see me after the meeting.
What were those November dates again,
Pat? November the 26th and the 29th.
That's October.
November, I'm sorry, October the 26th and 29th, and November 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Anybody else?
And that was what time of the day for the meeting?
11:30 to 12:30. The reason I do that, because the kids eat lunch at 11 o'clock, the clients, I'm sorry, they eat lunch at 11 o'clock to 11:30, so they're doing their job 11:30 to 12:30. So you'll have about a half an hour discussion with Greg O'Connor and Denise, and I'll be there. And then they'll take you to the workshop, and you'll see some things that are amazing. So, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that wishes to address the City Council? Is there a motion for adjournment?
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Watch the game.